Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From Hollywood, Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair, bringing one of America's favorite stars of the screen, Jimmy Stewart.
Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair. Present your theater of romance from Hollywood. Tonight, the curtain rises on your theater of romance and its production of a most successful Broadway play that became a most successful Hollywood picture. Here is your play, S.N. Behrman's No Time for Comedy, and here is your star, Jimmy Stewart. You know Gaylord Easterbrook, once country farm boy, now literary charm boy. You've probably seen his plays, laughed at his witticisms, quoted his bon mot. Well, like the comedian who wants to play Hamlet, playwright Easterbrook now wants to write serious drama. And here he is, sweating over something profound and stirring. Ah, but Gay has an inspiration. Yes, a lovely inspiration. And she's standing right beside him.
Amanda?
Yes, Gay?
I've got it.
Oh, Gay, darling.
The whole thing's come to me. I've been struggling for days, for weeks, and now I've got it.
Yes.
You've given it to me. You adorable, wonderful creature. There's something about you, Amanda, some magic.
What is it, darling?
Well, I think it's just the kind of thing you've been wanting me to work on. Something with a message.
Yes.
It's a fantasy about a world in which suddenly no babies are being born anymore. Do you know what's happened to the babies? They've organized, refused to be born until the world reforms and becomes a better place to live in.
Oh, that's great.
Can you see what happens down here on Earth, Amanda?
What?
Diplomats meeting in world conclaves, masses of people praying and gathering in the streets, scientists going hysterical in their laboratories. No babies, though. But no babies at all.
Oh, I think it's delightful.
Oh,
wonderful.
I can just see the whole first act already. The world's leaders are in conference, desperate, puzzled.
Yes.
And then a big white bird, some kind of a bird, appears at the window.
Yes.
He carries a message. The babies will come to terms and to Earth only if the people of the world will guarantee them that there'll be no more killing, no more poverty, no more misery.
Oh.
The statesmen announce that the world must vote. Either there will be babies again, or the present civilization will die without hearing the happy laughter of little children. The statesmen sit there, waiting, wondering. What will the people decide? Slowly the curtain descends. First act.
Oh, Gay, it's perfectly beautiful. And important, too. Very important.
Gosh, when I think of the kind of things I've always written before.
Yes, yeah, those sophisticated drawing room comedies. Full of froth and nothing.
Oh, well, I wouldn't exactly say that. They must have had something that made people laugh, made me rich.
Oh, well, of course, they were slick, Gay. But what I meant was...
Yeah, all right, darling. That was just my ego rising to the bait.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, Amanda, you know... You're so exactly what a writer needs.
Okay, darling.
It's getting kind of late here. What did I do with my hat? It's time for me to get home to my wife.
Hello, dear.
Hi, darling.
You sound fresh.
Oh, no.
Work today?
No.
Try?
Tried a little, couldn't.
Want to tell me about it?
Why, no, Linda. Whatever this one's going to turn out to be, I'll worry it through alone.
Hey, mister, you sound awfully serious.
Well, maybe for a change I ought to be.
Don't tell me the debonair Mr. Easterbrook suddenly wants to mount a pulpit.
Now, Linda, I just can't go on saying nothing.
Oh, why not, when you always say it so charmingly?
Look, Linda... I can't go on talking about nothing more than boy meets girl. Not these days.
You underestimate yourself. Really, Gay, your plays are fun. They're gallant and witty, and occasionally they're touching. Write another, for heaven's sake, and for my sake.
Oh, Linda, why do you put up with me?
No choice.
Well, lots of choice.
For instance?
Well, anybody.
Don't like him.
No, you're a fool.
Mm-hmm.
If you had any sense, you'd quit.
Oh, no. At least not until you buy my dinner.
folks all through?
Yes, waiter, all through.
True.
What's the matter, Linda?
Just that our waiter asked the question that's been on my mind.
Well, what are you talking about?
Gay, are we all through?
Oh, now, please, Linda, let's not go into fundamentals tonight. I'm in no mood for it. I'm low, sunk, bored with myself.
Perhaps that just means you're bored with me.
Now, darling, don't be self-effacing. It doesn't become a beautiful young actress.
How would you like me to be?
Well, a little less all-seeing, a little less all-wise, a little less clairvoyant.
I am right, then, in assuming that we're washed up.
Now, Linda, don't you think you're driving pretty hard? You know, sometimes by prophesying, you make the undesirable come true.
Not quite. No, I should think it would take a little help from the outside. But I imagine I'm getting it.
What'd you say?
Shall we dance?
What was meant by that dark innuendo?
There's nothing dark about it. It's as clear as crystal.
Clear as a crystal ball, which you've been gazing into again.
Would you like to know exactly what I saw?
Might as well have it with music.
I saw a man once content to make people laugh, and to laugh himself. And then I saw the man change. Saw him come home cold, sober, but staggering.
Well, I thought you said he was cold sober.
Oh, but now he was staggering under the weight of the world. Suddenly concerned with cosmic misery. What is it, Gay? Miss Cosmic Misery, or perhaps Mrs.?
Linda, in case you don't know it, you're making me furious.
Darling, in case you don't know it, you're attracting attention.
And let me tell you something else. What you so airily refer to as my sudden concern for cosmic misery happens to be just not as sudden as all.
I think we'd better dance.
I think we'd better go.
I'll get my coat.
Mr. Easterbrook.
Yeah?
Your wife dropped this purse.
Oh, thanks.
Unless I'm mistaken, this card fell out of it. I thought it might be of some importance.
Card? Oh. Philo Smith.
Something wrong, sir?
Why, she's been talking to Amanda's husband.
Who, sir?
My little crystal gazer.
Are you feeling all right, sir?
She hasn't been crystal gazing at all.
Could I get you an aspirin, sir?
She's been spying on me, spying.
Perhaps if you had another drink, sir, she might go away.
Listen while Joe Burton gives his wife a spot of bad news.
Molly, I didn't get the promotion. Mr. Brown hired a chap from the outside.
Oh, Joe. Why, I thought for sure you'd get that job.
Yeah, so did I. Well, I guess I don't know how to blow my own trumpet.
That's not the reason. It was a little breath of trouble. I mean unpleasing breath that put the bee on Joe. If ever there was a case for Colgate tooth powder, this is it. You see, anyone can be the victim of unpleasing breath. It happens to thousands without their knowing. Marks them down socially, brings them unhappiness. And they seldom suspect the real reason. Don't let that breath of trouble catch up with you. Do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder in 7 cases out of 10... instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And when it comes to cleaning, money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better or quicker than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Now, Colgate tooth powder and Halo shampoo bring you the second act of No Time for Comedy, starring Jimmy Stewart. Gaylord Easterbrook has fled right back to Amanda's comforting charms. To Amanda Smith, who devotes her life to messing up others, who has a passion for misguidance and men. Now watch her at work.
Poor Gay. I really think you'd be more comfortable in this chair.
Oh, you do?
And I'm sure you'll like this brandy.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. Now a little music. You know, it soothes a savage beast.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Say, no, it really does. Mm-hmm. Of course, Amanda, I'm not very savvy.
Oh, you're much more savvy than you give yourself credit for. A good kind of savageness against injustice and misery. Only the curious thing is...
What?
The savageness, this indignation. Well, how is it they've never gotten into your plays before?
Well, if my plays are trivial, perhaps it's because I am.
Oh, no, darling.
Perhaps one expresses oneself in spite of oneself. One's unconscious forces one to. One must have read that somewhere.
Jay, don't joke about it. The truth is, you permitted yourself to be diverted by circumstances.
What circumstances?
I'm afraid you'll misunderstand me.
No, I'm in no position to misunderstand you. You're not my wife.
Very well. The circumstance that you've been married to a very successful actress of comedy. And that you've written your plays not to express yourself, but to express her.
By the way, Amanda, I haven't told Linda about the play yet.
You coward!
No, she's been waiting 6 months for a play by me. Now, how can I tell her there's no part for her in my new one? Unless, of course, she wants to wear diapers or something.
Don't you think she might guess about the play? You know, sometimes women are rather...
Clairvoyant?
Hmm?
No, I'm not very worried about Linda's clairvoyant powers anymore. But I am a little worried about the play. Do you really like the way I have it outlined, Amanda?
Oh, it's superb. You know it is.
No, I'm not so sure. Somehow I have a horrible suspicion that it may only be a one-act idea.
Oh, don't be discouraged, darling. I have faith in the idea. And in you.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. Oh, you're a sweetheart. And maybe you're right. Maybe my idea does have suspense. What will the people do about the babies? How will they vote? What will those politicians tell the babies? What will I tell your husband, whom I just heard come in?
Good evening, Philo. You know Mr. Easterbrook, don't you?
I've seen his comedies. Hilarious. Oh, Linda, come on in. Amanda, you know Mrs. Easterbrook, don't you?
Mrs. Easterbrook?
You've seen her in my comedies. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gay. Mr. Smith invited me over to play backgammon. Only perhaps he should have called from downstairs to give you a chance to hide in the library.
Yeah, I don't mind hiding in a bedroom, but hiding in a library is kind of dry.
If you'll excuse me, I'll go fetch the backgammon board. Don't go away, Linda.
No. Make yourself at home, Mrs. Easterbrook.
Thank you, darling. I'll take my cue from you.
It was good of you to come, Mrs. Easterbrook. Really.
It was nice of you to have me, Mrs. Smith. Really.
Oh, now. Come, girls. Really. Now, look, Linda, I refuse to make explanations since you're here spying on me. However, I happen
to... Spying? Gay, I only came to play backgammon.
However, I happen to be here working on a new play.
Well, that's fine, Gay. But why the change of environment? You trying to save rent on your office?
Linda, this has nothing to do with my office. As a matter of fact, this play is kind of, different. I wanted to tell you about it before, only I...
Only what, Gay? Why didn't you?
Well, it wasn't easy. You see, this play is kind of...
I know. Different.
Did I say that?
Well, Gay, darling, perhaps I can be of help. That is, if your wife won't misunderstand my motive.
But I assure you I won't. I'll understand it perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, I think Gay found it difficult to tell you about this play because, first, well, there's no part in it for you. What's that? That's so silly.
You really don't mind, Linda?
Why not, as long as it's a good play, darling. But go on, Mrs. Smith. What's the second reason?
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can handle that. You see, Linda, it isn't anything like the things I've done before. I was afraid you wouldn't be, sympathetic.
Oh, why shouldn't I be? Oh, you know, Gay, I'm really hurt.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Easterbrook. So terribly sorry.
Come off it, Mandy. Come clean. I wish you could teach me this technique. All this pastel theorizing, all this wonderful dim lighting for sex.
I understand everything now.
Doggone it, I wish I did.
Gay, don't you see? You've told me how you feared her critical faculty, her pitiless clarity.
Oh, now take it easy, Amanda. You make her sound like an X-ray.
Well, she is. She shriveled you.
Shriveled me?
Being 6'3", he could stand it.
I mean in his soul. You don't believe in anything but empty laughter. You're merciless and destructive. And I hate you. I hate you.
Amanda.
Oh, brother. Besides all that, she can cry.
Linda, I wish I could think of another way of saying it, but this is the end.
Isn't that a bit summary?
I just can't stand it anymore. Your beautiful superiority. Why, you can't even be humanly jealous.
That's what you think.
I hate your detachment. I hate your coolness. I hate your destructive, critical nature.
You've acquired Mandy's vocabulary. Pity. So cliché.
Linda, I'm going to marry Amanda.
My blessing.
You think I'm joking?
No, I don't, Gay. Only what I want to know is why. I simply can't believe you're in love with her.
Nevertheless, I am. I'm madly in love with her.
Would you love me, Gay, if I praised you for qualities you haven't got? Would you love me if I could cry? I'll practice.
Always clear, always articulate, always...
Always helpless against women like her. Oh, Gay, what can I do?
I'll tell you what you can do. You can pity us for this childish emotion that we're involved. You don't need me. You don't need anyone. You're self-sufficient.
Gay, what is it? You're miserable. But this isn't the ecstasy of newfound love.
Yes, it is. And now, don't try and put your arms around me. Don't come near me. Oh, Linda, why don't you leave me alone? Why don't you go home?
Well, I found the board. backgammon, anybody?
Hello. Oh, Amanda. No, he isn't here. You mean you haven't seen him either? Ah, oh, afraid you'll just have to get used to these little disappearances. You find Gay elusive as a lover, as a husband, he's practically non-existent. Oh, but I have heard from him. Yeah, he sent over the outline of the play. I'm reading it now. Yes, I was surprised myself. I really didn't feel... Just a minute. Well, hello, Gay. This call is for you. Amanda.
Well, where is she?
Downstairs in the bar.
Oh, I'll tell her I'll be down as soon as I've packed.
Amanda, it's Gay. He'll be down as soon as he's packed. Yes, I know, Amanda, you're sorry. Terribly sorry.
Linda, about last night, it isn't the way you think. I slept at the office.
Oh, that's rather unimportant now, isn't it, Gay?
Linda.
Yes, Gay?
All right. Have you read it?
Oh, the play. Yes, I have.
Well, come on, give.
It's not easy to say in a word.
If you lie to me, I'll break your neck.
I was very touched, Gay, by your sending it to me.
Oh, the devil with that. Go on, say it's terrible.
Oh, you couldn't write anything terrible. But...
But what?
This whole subject, Gay, it doesn't seem to be your dish.
Uh-huh. You mean I haven't made it come off?
It isn't that. It just seems so far afield for you, like you're reaching. However, reading your outline gave me an idea.
I wish I had one.
You have. You're right in the middle of one. Mandy and me.
Mandy and you what?
Write a play about Mandy and me. The two opposite types of women in the life of a man. The builder-upper and the breaker-downer.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I got it. The critical faculty versus the clinging vine.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What every woman knows in reverse,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah. A playwright.
A brilliant playwright.
A brilliant guy. Oh, yeah, that's me.
Mm.
Yeah. He's caught between two points of view, two women. Which one wins out in the end?
Which one does he stay with?
Well, suppose the play he wrote under the builder-upper's influence were a great success.
Then the breaker-downer would be sunk.
Uh-huh, but if the play stands...
The breaker-downer would still be sunk because the man would never forgive her for being right.
Oh, no. Now you're not giving the playwright any credit. You're making him blind, naive, stupid. Oh, that's right. That's me.
Oh, Gay.
Why, Linda, you know, I can see a wonderful part in this new play for you. Gosh, I'm certainly glad I thought of it.
Hello. Oh, yes, just a moment, please. Mandy,
She's getting impatient.
Well, what for? What does she mean calling me like this, spying on me? Tell her I'm busy. Tell her I'm writing a new play. Tell her...
No, darling. You tell her.
Uh-oh. Well, how am I going to... Okay. I guess I'm going to have to say it sooner or later.
Yes, you certainly are. After all, it'll be the curtain line to your last act.
Give me that phone. Hello? Amanda? Say, Mandy, a very funny thing just happened. I just thought of a... my wife just thought of a whale of an idea for a new play, and I'm afraid it's going to make a great comedy.
Jane Stewart, star of tonight's presentation of the Joel Malone, Stanley Rubin adaptation of No Time for Comedy, will return to our microphone in just a moment.
Halo, everybody, halo. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair, so halo, everybody, halo.
Use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For soap shampoos, leave a film on your hair. But Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. The very first time you use Halo, you'll notice your hair glistens in all its natural brilliance. The deep, full, natural color and luster come sparkling through like sunshine through a clean window pane. And remember, even in the hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff, grease, and dirt. Needs no lemon or vinegar rinse, because Halo leaves no dulling soap film. Nothing to hide your hair's natural beauty. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Use Halo on your children's hair, too. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Halo glorifies your hair.
So Halo, everybody, Halo. Halo shampoo, Halo.
Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair. Join in a warm welcome to Jimmy Stewart and a sincere thank you for his performance as the star of No Time for Comedy. We're looking forward to your return to the screen in the Frank Capra Liberty production. It's a Wonderful Life, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be on stage for the Theater of Romance. It looks like your regular customers are in for a great holiday lineup. Next week, Bob Walker returns in Penny Serenade. Then, Bob Taylor makes his first radio appearance since his discharge from the Navy. He'll star in Magnificent Obsession. The week after that, one of my favorite friends, Suzanne Peters, joins up with Van Johnson in Love Affair. Well, thanks again. See you soon. Good night. Good listening.
Bulletin for the Future. Next week, Charles Zander's production of Theater of Romance, The Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo, stars Robert Walker in Penny Serenade, to be followed by Robert Taylor in Magnificent Obsession and Van Johnson and Susan Peters in Love Affair. Keep a date with Theater of Romance for all the weeks to come. You'll always hear your favorite stars. These presentations of Theater of Romance come to you because of your enthusiastic recognition of Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet, and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair. This is your host saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, romance.
Ladies and gentlemen, they finished their job. By they, I mean the men who fought and the men who fell in the war. Now let's finish our job. Let us support the one last big bond drive. $11 billion are needed for bringing men home and the rehabilitation of veterans, for other vital expenses which have directly grown out of the war. Remember, victory bonds are a profitable investment. They pay you back at maturity $4 for every $3 you invest. Buy a victory bond tomorrow. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.